This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
And we start with breaking show news on the Score North Twin Show. Welcome in. Happy spring training, boys. We will get to some spring training overreactions, which I think that can just be a safe space for us to give takes about spring training, knowing that they're very small sample sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a safe space, so we can...
Aaron Hicks.
Was he good in spring training?
He had that one.
He had like a 3-home run game or something.
Yeah, in Clearwater. That's against right. The Phillies, I think. I think he hit one clear over the left field tiki bar.
Clear over the water.
And we were all like, this is unbelievable. This guy's unbelievable. This guy's going to be great.
Yeah. I saw Luke Hughes hit like 7 bombs in spring training one year. Oh, gotta find a way.
Every year there's like at least one where you're like, oh my God, this is really it. This is going to be it. This is just great. What a find.
Yes. So we'll get to some spring training overreactions. Also, the Twins are on the grid today, so we'll do a twin-centric. There's a wins above replacement category, which is always a fun one. But we have a few fun things that we're going to roll out regarding the Score North Twin Show before the season starts. And the first one is we have launched our third Score North YouTube channel. So the first one was the Purple Daily channel. That was 4 or 5 years ago. And then we spun off the Score North channel, which is where all of our other shows, including this one, have resided on the YouTube front. And the third channel is the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we have 100 subscribers from just sending a tweet out yesterday. So thank you, the first 100 subscribers. You're going to get an awkward hug from Sports Dad next time he sees you.
Nope. Not hugging anybody.
Oh, I promised it in the tweet. So
No. Unsubscribe if you really wanted to hug.
Sorry. So this is our third YouTube channel. And so starting next week, all of the YouTube editions of the Score North Twin Show will be available exclusively on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. You will no longer find the full episodes on the Score North channel. So that's an important change. If you consume this product on YouTube, make sure you click subscribe. You can find a link on the homepage of the Score North and Purple Daily YouTube channels. You'll see just a link you can click on, the Score North Twin Show. You can also search it in the YouTube search bar. But we're excited. We're gonna put more chips on this table, and we're gonna grow this thing, the Score North Twin Show. We think this team's gonna be good, and we're excited for a couple other announcements before the season starts. So,
good. I'm super excited for this twin season, and it'll be nice just to have one central hub. So if you're looking for Flagrant Howls, or you're looking for Judd's Hockey Show and you can't find the Score North Twin Show, here's a silo of the Twin Show that's on YouTube as well. So really excited. I mean, and we're also very excited to announce the other things we have planned here.
Yeah, and we will eventually probably make a Flagrant Howls YouTube channel and maybe a Judd's Hockey Show, but we're just kind of waiting for the right time, and there's a couple other factors behind the scenes that we're trying to iron out. But so click that subscribe button on our third YouTube channel, the Score North Twin Show. And starting next week, all of those episodes will be, and on Apple and Spotify on the audio side, it's not going to change, but you can find those on YouTube. So, okay, Dex, let's start with you. Spring training overreactions. Let's each give at least one before we get to the Twins on the grid.
All right, I love me some overreactions here. So I'll fire this first fastball, if you will, for mine. My spring training overreaction is the Twins don't need Alex Kirilloff to be successful in 2024.
Wow. He's bailing on Alex Kirilloff. Wow.
So I now, full admittance, I have been probably the hardest of him, of us three on this Score North Twin Show. The error in Game 4 that ended your season in the first inning kind of just derailed that entire game. Yeah. He has a sweet swing, and well, maybe he could win a batting title. And yes, he was a very highly regarded prospect. But when I look up and down the roster of the Twins, all right, so like if Royce Lewis got injured, problem. If Carlos Correa got injured, problem. If Pablo Lopez got injured, problem. If they lost Alex Kirilloff, Is that a problem? I don't think that's a big problem. Now, they're banking on Carlos Santana still having a lot more left in the tank. That's a conversation we could probably have if that's the right move to do. But when I look at the core players for the Twins to be successful in 2024, how much of that chunk of pie goes to Alex Kirilloff? I think it's little to none. And there's other players here that need to obviously step up, and you'd love to see Matt Wallner put up together a full season. You'd like to see Edward Julian put together a full season. But I have Kirilloff so low on that list. And if he's great, awesome. Again, great luxury to have. But when I think about the Twins being successful in 2024, I don't think it really relies on Alex Kirilloff's ability to hit the baseball or stay on the field.
Okay, Judd?
On Kirilloff, or do you...
Let's stay on Kirilloff.
Okay. On Kirilloff, I think I agree with what Declan is saying right now, but I will say this. He was actually taken off the playoff roster last year and underwent in October, so shortly after he was taken off the roster, right shoulder surgery. Injuries have been a huge problem. Like, if Buxton, if the elephant in the room wasn't that Buxton's always hurt, I think that we actually would talk a lot more about Kirilloff's career being derailed consistently by injuries. I agree with Declan's point, but I will say this, and it doesn't sound like Declan is giving up on Kirilloff completely. I do think that he's worth keeping around, one, to see how the shoulder comes around, because that, you know, being a spring training overreaction, that could definitely be a problem. Your season, your winter gets derailed when you have to undergo a surgery like this. And so with injuries happening to other players, or to your point about Carlos Santana, I do think that Kirilloff could play an important role. Right now, I think he sort of gets forgotten. But all of that being said, if you give up on him now and trade him, you're going to get very small return compared to ability. So I'm willing to be patient here, but Dex, if you're flat out saying, I don't think that the Twins' like ability to win the AL Central is threatened by Kirilloff being hurt, not playing, not producing, I do agree with that.
I would say they can win the division without a ton of contribution from Alex Kirilloff if Carlos Santana hasn't reached the age cliff yet. He's not the same player he was like 4 or 5 years ago, but he can still hit enough, and he's still one of the best defensive first basemen in the league.
Walks a ton, gets on base.
And there's a chance, I mean, Brooks Lee, here's another reaction, actually. Brooks Lee looks like a dude in the 12 at-bats he's had. He's got like 3 doubles in the first 2 weeks. There's a chance that if he comes up at some point, now Julian's in the mix at first base, and you have another option over there. But I will say, the best version of Alex Kirilloff, if we can get it for a full season without the injuries, if he can just be on the field healthy and finally giving you the best version of Alex Kirilloff, I think he could be the difference between winning a division at like 87 or 88 games and being a powerhouse in the American League. Because he has that type of ability as a hitter, that he can be a lineup changing hitter. But they've done a good job, I guess, to Dex's point, kind of insulating. The whole season doesn't rely, in some ways, the season kind of relies on like Byron Buxton staying healthy, and like they're putting a lot of chips on that table in center field. Royce Lewis at third base, Carlos Correa at shortstop. Like, they don't have a Carlos Santana equivalent or a Julian that you can just kind of slide into some of those other places. They do at first base. So it's much more insulated. Okay. All right, Jeb, give us a spring training overreact.
Okay, my overreaction for spring training, actually, you just brought this up, but it is this. Brooks Lee will be on the opening day roster. And I slightly disagree with you, because I think Brooks Lee, now, if guys go down, now I'm not saying he's going to seamlessly take Correa's place, but he could play, he's going to be able to play second, third, and short, right? If Royce Lewis goes down, Brooks Lee replaces him. I actually think that there might be, about halfway through spring training, a seismic shift here that sees Julian starting to take ground balls at first base. Brooks Lee is 6-for-18. He's driven in 2 runs. If you go watch, and I believe it is on Twitter or X, Twin Central, dude, great job. You put out a bunch of content each day. It's fantastic. But he puts out Brooks Lee's like swing every single day.
Yeah.
It is his left-handed swing is what Kirilov's swing was when Kirilov was healthy. It is absolutely fantastic. Brooks Lee's swing is ready to play in the big leagues, and I think Brooks Lee is going to be on the opening day roster, and I think that I could see around March 16th, they're like, Eddie, go take some ground balls at first base. I think we might have our second baseman. This guy doesn't look like he belongs with that swing in spring training in the minor leagues.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
I think they're going to make him carve up AAA for like a month, month and a half, though. Plus,
I'm overreacting. So
service time, maybe. But I know these guys, this is a safe space.
I'm overreacting.
No, this is a safe space.
But I love that swing, dude. That swing is so sweet. That left-handed swing.
Man. And like, dude, his name is Brooks Lee. That's a baseball name.
Player right
he
there.
Just looks like a ball guy.
Yeah. You know?
Man.
Loves going to the ball yard, talking shop.
Man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a dude for sure. So, okay, here's mine. Simeon Woods Richardson is going to be the solution in the Twins rotation that no one's talking about.
Oh.
We're talking about in the rotation.
Rotation.
Okay? So he's Simeon Woods Richardson has been throwing harder in spring training than he's been at any point in his career. In fact, he was clocked 94.8 miles per hour, according to MLB.com, 2 days ago during his start, which is a couple miles. Now, he set out during spring training. One of his goals was to uptick the velocity, and he has done that. And people kind of forget. And by the way, he has made, I believe they've run him out there to start two games. So he's, and the Twins have like one, two, three, four, five. They've got like eight guys who are starting, but he's in the mix of guys that they're stretching out to at least start spring training here. So we'll see how that goes. And he has been a starter throughout his entire minor league career. So until further notice, like, he's still a starter. I know they might have bullpen plans for him long term, but he's only 23 years old. He, along with Austin Martin, were the two pieces they got in the Jose Berríos trade. And he was, as recently as 2.5 years ago, a top 100 Baseball America and MLB Pipeline prospect. I mean, he was a gem. He was a top 10 Twins prospect. And we just kind of like, oh, he had a bad year at AAA and he struggled, you know, in his cup of coffee in the last couple of years in the majors. Like, ah, let's just forget about this dude. Mm-hmm. But he dominated double and AAA back in 2022, struck out 10 batters per nine. Didn't give up home runs, didn't give up hits. So I'm just saying, like, velocity taking a tick up for Simeon Woods Richardson and his former dominance in the minor leagues not that long ago, just a couple years ago. I think I'm back on the bandwagon. He's going to wind up playing a major role for this. Again, this is overreactions here, but you know, he's going to play a major role.
That Berríos trade got buried, you know, because when they made that trade, that was a good trade. Austin Martin was a stud at the time. Stud. And Simeon Woods Richardson was a stud.
Stud.
And so, you know, baseball is largely about patience, right? Like, you got to be patient with guys. I could see this because the expectation at that time was that both of them were going to contribute in the big leagues. Like, there was these were not flyers. These were not throw-ins. The Berríos trade was a big trade. So it would make sense. Here's my question. Does your overreaction include him being on the opening day rotation? Because I will tell you right now, there will be one guy who will not be there, and I don't care, he's throwing bullpens.
Pronounce his name.
No, I've got it right now. DeSclafani.
Nope.
Not DeSclaf. DeSclaf.
DeSclafani. Well, that's DeSclafani.
You were close. That's close.
The
Naga.
The emphasis is on the fifth time in the rotation.
DeSclafani. The emphasis is on the fa. So I was going through that because I was thinking it was Feeney. And I got Feeney. But anyway, I don't think he's going to be in the opening day rotation. So the question is,
he's also like, if someone can't clear that bar, you know, that's where you got these, get Varland and Simi Woods Richardson. These are young dudes mm-hmm. with more upside. You'd like to see one of those guys just clear that bar and be the number five starter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But for, I guess, for all the talk about Varland and, oh man, look at him, and he throws harder, I get it. Well, he threw harder as a reliever anyways. I think Simeon Woods Richardson, if I'm reading this right from Teddy Schwarzler on Twitter, the hardest pitch he was ever clocked at throwing via StatCast in a regular season game was 93.5 miles an hour. And in the first inning of his game from 2 days ago, he threw three pitches harder than that. And by the way, Bailey Ober's fastball is up as well this spring.
He's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, I don't know if they got the weighted ball in the offseason, what they're doing, but if it's just, you got the 80-degree lather down in Florida, they're just sleeping at Driveline, waking up, throwing fastballs.
Driveline's the place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, remember what the Brewers did with Josh Hader. Josh Hader was a full-time starter in the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. Full-time starter. Called him up and turned him into the best, most dominant, feared reliever in baseball. Is Simeon Wood Richardson part of the same similar plan? Like, and Josh Hader, by the way, at Triple A stunk. Now, he did pitch pretty well in the minor leagues and the lower levels, and at Double A. At Triple A, he struggled. Not that that completely matters of how he factors as a big leaguer. But they took Josh Hader and said, you know what? You're not starting for us. You are going to be a super bullpen arm. Is Simeon Woods Richardson, is Louis Varland, are those guys, is that more part of their plan, especially if their rotation does look a little thin? Now, I don't think you can just have a four-man rotation in 2024, but with starters going slower, or not as deep into games, I should say, with the current state of baseball, do you just want to load up as many bullets as possible in your bullpen?
Got options. Yeah, he's also like, he's lanky, man. He's like 6'3", 6'4". So just, I feel like it's a name that people kind of cast aside, and we shouldn't, because he's throwing gas. So those are your spring training overreactions here. Let's do this every week, the rest of spring training, so we can have a safe space to say the things that are on our mind watching two innings of 28 pitches.
Get games on.
Yeah, this is
When's the first Bally's televising?
The middle of the month, I think. Man, it's ridiculous, but
I'd pay for like a pirated stream. If somebody just wants to like horizontal style tripod their phone behind the netting at Hammond Stadium, I'll pay for that.
I show Dex. The Braves do pretty much that. They take the ballpark cameras on their website. They stream the games and they put the radio play by play. I mean, that's absolutely fine. It's not perfect, but it's fine.
I was streaming games at the Metrodome for St. Cloud State Baseball at 11 p.m. on a Wednesday in 2013. You're telling me we can't do a similar thing in 2024, for God's sakes? Come on.
Let's find a way. Before we get to the Twins on the grid here, gentlemen, a shout out to noted former Twin, legendary former Twin who announced his retirement yesterday. Pour one out for Josh Donaldson.
Yeah,
he's wrapping up a 13-year major league playing career, 279 career home runs. I will say this about Josh Donaldson. Underrated Twins career.
His numbers are good.
Underrated Twins career. He came in, he was a kick-in-the-ass spark plug during the pandemic in 2020, brought some attitude to that lineup, and then he winds up playing 135 games in 2021. OPS, 27% above league average.
Yeah.
You know, had a couple weird run-ins with umpires and teammates didn't really love him that much. But, you know, cost about $25 million a year. But, you know.
I thought he was going to be a perfect, like guy to be, like, fiery and get the – and I think he was just a pain in the ass. I think his teammates couldn't stand him. And do you guys recall, the highlight of the Donaldson time here, I thought, was in 2020 – the Twins were in Chicago playing the White Sox. Yeah. And it was the day after he got into a spat with the home plate umpire. On the next pitch, hits a home run, crosses home plate, kicks dirt on the plate, gets ejected. It's just a gong show. Completely embarrassing. Yeah. And then on the Zoom call the next day before the game, Justin Morneau, who had ripped Donaldson for doing that at home plate, asked a question. And Donaldson's like, yeah, Justin, I heard what you said about what I did. I wouldn't change a thing. And it made it super uncomfortable.
He like was on MLB Network or something yesterday for like an hour. Like he hosted something. He did like an hour, basically retirement video.
Really?
And he spent all of like 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes, 2 minutes talking about his time with the Twins, mostly about how the COVID season made things very, very awkward of like team building and aspect because he signs to go to spring training and then spring training gets shut down. So he had next to nothing to say about the Twins. He also, I still follow him on Instagram. He got married, I think, like just a couple months ago. So he got married.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure on this. He had the same band that, and you know, old school when they have that one guy singing
the Damn Band.
Yeah. I think he played his wedding.
Or wait, no, the Damn Band was that old school? Yeah.
Old school when they're singing Candy Shop, you know, he's singing the goofy ass song of at the beginning part of the wedding.
Oh, it is the Damn Band. It's the Damn Band. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy inserts the
He inserts F-bombs into
it's hilarious.
He played Donaldson's wedding.
I need you now tonight. I need you more.
Yeah.
He had the Damn Band play his wedding. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Dude. Let's play a game called How Much Money Did Josh Donaldson Make in His Baseball Playing Career?
Oh, God.
You each get one guess. Closest to the pin wins.
Okay. So I feel like he was under.
This is a new game we can play, by the way. We'll play.
Okay. So he was under. He was a late bloomer. I know that. He really didn't like pop up and debut with the A's, so he was like 28.
He was 26 when he debuted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cubs
and then he went to Toronto. There was a pit stop in Cleveland. He did a 1-year deal with Atlanta. He did a 4-year deal with the Twins where the Yankees took on the last two.
Yep.
I'm going to guess about $150 million.
Okay. Dex says $150 million.
I'll go $180.
That says 180. The correct answer is $172 million. Sports debt. Only $8 million away from the pin
it's
there.
It's good to be Josh Donaldson.
Hey, it's good to be the Score North Twin Show with Nicolay Law as a new partner here for us going into the 2024 season. A shout out to the exclusive personal injury law firm of the Score North Twin Show. They're local. You may have seen a billboard or two, maybe three, around the Twin Cities. But if you've been injured, ordinary life can come to a stop. Things get complicated, and the insurance companies don't care about you. They don't care that you're a human with medical bills piling up, that you may or may not be able to work. Nicolay Law does care, though. They've seen every play the insurance companies have, and they'll go the whole way to make sure you get the compensation you deserve after an accident. Start your path to winning at NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. Boys, let's do, we got time here. Can we do,
we got time to do Immaculate Grid? Yep,
all right.
We got plenty of time.
Twins are on the grid here, boys. Twins are on the grid. And it's been like 2 weeks since we've done a grid on this show.
Oh, nice.
So here's what we're looking for.
You guys can see, there you go.
Nice. A Twins player who was a White Sox, a Twins player who was a National or an Expo, and a Twins player with 40 or more wins above replacement in their career. I'll come back to that in a second. And then an Oriole who was a White Sox, Oriole who was a National, and an Oriole 40 wins above replacement. And then an A who was a White Sox, A who was a National, and an A who was a 40 war player or better. So just for context, a 40 war mark, Hall of Famers are generally 45 war or above. Now, not all players who are above that are Hall of Famers, but like Joe Mauer was like a 50 war player somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for players that either played a really long time and accumulated a lot of wins by replacement, or players that were really, really good, perennial all-star caliber players or Hall of Famers.
So we're trying to find guys that probably passed through those teams but weren't known to be on those teams.
Well, yeah, if we're going for rarity score, we're probably looking for the more obscure options.
That's what we always do, right? Like,
So like
rarity score.
So like Nelson Cruz.
By the way, I just got an email from the Mariners because we used to live in Seattle and went to Mariners games. Nelson Cruz throwing out the opening day first pitch for the Mariners.
Oh, nice. Nelly.
Trader. Yeah, Nelly Cruz probably fits that category. I mean, Joe Mauer, Jim Thome, all the usual suspects, Harmon, Carew.
Bartolo, he pitched so long.
Guaranteed. He pitched for 20 years.
Yeah.
Paul Molitor.
Mm-hmm.
So Bartolo?
Like Bartolo, Nelson Cruz. I'm trying to think of like...
I mean, Bartolo Colon's probably a good one because I don't think that's going to pop.
Jack Morris, pass-through was probably in there. I mean, Nelson Cruz... I'm trying to think of how rare that would be.
He also would work for Bird's 40 WAR because he played for.
Yeah.
Oh.
Baltimore. Dave Winfield.
Winfield would work.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's try Cruz for the Orioles one. Okay. That's a great one, actually.
Okay.
Nelly Cruz.
Actually, before you click that, real quick, you know who else would be the same category? Sammy Sosa played for the Orioles.
I think people might.
Oh. Hold on, take that down. Is it what? Do we need a White Sox Orioles bin?
Yep.
Sammy Sosa would fit for that bin.
Yep.
Let's do Cruz for the Orioles 40 WAR and see what happens.
Yeah. All.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
A lot
sorry.
Going on with this immaculate grid. Okay. Go ahead.
1%.
1%. Okay.
Birds.
Okay. Let's go.
Sosa.
You want to do Sosa for the? He started his career with the White Sox or the Rangers or he was with. I can't remember the Rangers. Order, but he was with both those teams before he went to the Cubs.
Yep, Rangers, and White Sox, Cubs, right?
Sadly finished his career with, like, Texas and Baltimore.
Just bouncing around.
Mm-hmm.
So Sosa?
Unless there's a more rare one that... I think that's got to be pretty rare. Harold Baines is probably the most...
I just feel like he's too... I mean, if we can't figure out anyone, we can't. But I just feel like he's too top of mind, even though these are two random teams that people know him.
Oh, we can see.
Let's see what happens. 9%.
Yeah, you're right. Dex was right.
Yeah, that's not bad. Hey, for the Twins White Sox, try this one. Eric with a C, Soderholm. Holy 1970s cow. Third baseman. Hated Royce.
Hated Royce.
I was going to use Jesse Crane for that.
Pedro Hernandez. He was the other guy with Eduardo Escobar on the Liriano trade.
This guy should be.
Let's do this guy.
I don't think people remember him.
1% on Eric Soderholm. Okay, let's do the Twins ones. Matthew LeCroy for Twin.
LeCroy.
So it can be a Nat Expos, or an though. Expo.
Expos, you could go back to like Jeff
Reardon.
Reed. Jeff Reed was part of the Reardon trade. A catcher.
Orlando Cabrera.
Yep. John Roush.
John Roush. Yeah.
One-time Twins closer. Good. Jamie Carroll also. I think they were on the same team together.
Yeah, there's a lot of good choices here.
I like Carroll.
The Expo stuff is great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other old school... Expos. I have a great A Expo one.
Oh, Charlie Lee, LEA, pitched for the Expos and Twins as well. Well,
that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Never
Charlie,
heard of that guy.
LEA. I think he pitched a no-no for the Charlie is IE, I believe. Nope. I just saw him.
There. You did see him?
Yep. Second one.
Right there. Charlie Lee.
Oh. This guy.
Second guy to Charlie Lee Brat.
0.3. Look at that. Base.
I was excited when you signed with the Twins.
Okay, back to the WAR one for Twins. We said Dave Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
He passed through. Bartolo. Oh, David Ortiz passed through.
Ortiz.
Okay, who's not top of mind as a Twin would be mine.
Yeah.
Steve Carlton.
Ooh.
Don Baylor? I don't know if he was a 40.
Steve Carlton's not top of mind for the team. I mean,
Let's do Steve Carlton.
Steve Carlton's might be really good.
Watch it be 12%.
I don't think people remember him as a Twin at all because he barely played here. No, .8.
Let's go.
Good call.
Okay, super random. I don't know why I remember this from the early 2000s, but an Expo who was an Oakland A, F.P. Santangelo.
Oh,
that's got to be it. That's got to be
broadcaster, right?
Yep.
I think he was removed from
FP Santangelo.
He's the only baseball player with an F dot on Baseball Reference. So
FP Santangelo.
0.5.
Let's go. So we're looking for a White Sox who was an A, or an Oriole who was a Nat Expo, and then the A's go back to back about 150 years, like Napoli Joy. We could do any of those old guys.
I'm pretty sure he also went to Baltimore. I know he's with the Nationals. Remember Tommy Malone?
Oh, yeah.
Tommy would
definitely
work.
Remember Tommy.
Did Tommy pitch for the White? I mean, he might even work for this one. I knew he was an A, and he was national. And I'm pretty sure he was a Bird.
The only, like, 90s obscure one that I know was an Expo and an Oriole is David Segee. But I don't know how that's a pretty prominent 90s baseball name, so I don't know what the percentage is.
Good hitter.
I believe you're right on Tommy Malone.
Okay.
Tommy. Let's go Tommy Malone.
Yeah, that's not gonna be remembered.
Tommy. Point two. And apparently he played for the Mariners too, based on the hat that he's wearing.
This is shaping up really well right now for us.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the Sammy Sosa one. I guess I thought that was more obscure on the Orioles.
All right, we forgive you.
He was one of my favorite players as a kid until I found out he was doing steroids and corking his bat.
Yeah, I still remember the game where his bat exploded.
I think Jermaine Dye might be a little high for Sox.
Jermaine, Ray Durham. There's like a pipeline of A's and White Sox players.
Any pitchers? Like relievers?
Yes. Billy Koch was a closer for both these teams. And if you remember during the movie Moneyball,
that's pretty good.
One of the players that Billy Bean plucked as an obscure like bullpen guy was the submarine Chad Bradford.
Chad Bradford.
They plucked him from the White. Okay, he was a White Sox pitcher for like 3 years.
Bradford.
So Chad Bradford would work here.
There's no way.
Keith Folk was an early '90s closer for both these teams.
Wow, you're just going through the.
I'm cooking right now.
Point five.
Yeah. Oh, look at that creepy goatee on Chad Bradford.
Yes. We didn't say he wasn't creepy. We just said he pitched for both teams.
Okay, so A's. I mean,
there's a million options for the A's. I mean, recently, Miguel Tejada. I'm assuming Jason Giambi.
Frank Thomas.
David Justice. Frank Thomas. If you want to go old school, we've used Nap LaJoy a lot.
I think you go old school. Don't you guys?
And then Jimmy Fox was an old, I think, Philadelphia A, but he was one of the legendary A's players.
Nap played for the Philadelphia.
Did Dizzy Dean pitch for the A's? Or
Cardinals.
He...
I think he was Cardinals. Just Cardinals.
Matt Holliday had that one random cup of coffee with the A's.
He would have fit. Speaking of cups of coffee, Johnny Damon spent a year
in Oakland.
He'd probably fit this. But I don't know. Nap LaJoy, we've used him before. One of the great like early 1900s players. Just trying to think of other. We can just go Nap LaJoy. Finish this grid.
Point 14.
We're back.
And nine. Wow.
And nine of it was me screwing you guys on the Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa, because you loved him as a kid.
Sorry about that. I know. We should have gone. You know who we could have gone actually is Steve Stone. We should have gone.
Yep.
For Oriole and White Sox.
I was going to suggest that. But
Albert Bell,
so
that's another one.
Sean Doolittle. That was.
Oh, yeah.
Answer. Wow.
Sean Doolittle.
I think he does stuff on ESPN.com now.
Look at that, though. Cruz was the most popular.
Yeah.
Oh, national.
Nat Twin.
So, hey, nice work. 14% on the grid. It's a pretty good rarity score.
So lazy. There's some lazy stuff on that grid.
Ricky Henderson. Great player, but Reggie Jackson, get out of here with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mainstream BS.
At least Sal Bando, who probably wasn't a 41.
Hey, don't forget, click subscribe on the brand new Score North Twin Show YouTube channel. And starting next week, we'll deliver you full episodes of spring training overreactions, of immaculate grids, and random twins of the week. So thank you guys for hanging out with us here on the Score North Twin Show.